So it's come to this, has it? Pitiful. You do know that when civilization is brought to its knees and no one can access digital information, there will be no physical record of these fictitious conversations, right? Better enjoy them while you can.
We're back with another Red Mullet podcast for you. Don't that beat all? Hard to believe we're sitting here with yet another unknown agent of vigilante justice. We'll get to our guest in a minute, but first, have you ever had one of them times when you just couldn't shake the feeling that someone was watching you? Well, that happened to me recently, and I gotta say, it kind of creeped me out. We got a friend who's an old-timer and a conspiracy theorist to boot, so he's always assuming that somebody's watching, but I normally just pass it off as paranoia or dementia or something. The other day, though, I started noticing the hairs on the back of my neck standing up, and every once in a while, I'd catch something moving at the corner of my eye. Then things kept turning up missing, like my pocket knife and my toothbrush. One night, I woke up and I could have sworn someone was in my room, but when I turned on the light, there weren't no one there. It got to be a bit of an issue with me. I was looking over my shoulder all the time, couldn't eat nothing, couldn't go nowhere without suspecting a tail. Even Cowboy was starting to get annoyed with my distraction. He swore there weren't nothing to worry about, but I couldn't shake it. After a while, the feeling subsided, and I kind of forgot about it. Things were returning to normal until I noticed the smell. A pungent, musky smell. That's when I knew I'd been right all along. Took me a couple hours, but soon I'd found it. A daggum weasel taking up residence under our homestead. He'd been eyeballing me and pilfering my stuff when I wasn't looking. Sneaky varmint. Didn't have it in me to annihilate the critter, so CB and I caged it and drove him way out into the hills where he belonged. Reckon there's a chance he'll come back, but next time, he can bring his own toothbrush. He done chewed all the bristles off mine, so now it don't work as good. Before I forget, if and you want to contact us for any reason, tell us how good we're doing or how bad, write to us at redmulletmovie@andrewchandler.net or leave a comment on our Facebook fan page. You also might want to know that due to my positive experiences with the HAIR conventions, I have decided to expand my services as a public orator. That's right, the Red Mullet is now available for hire as a motivational speaker, or storyteller, or master of ceremonies, or whatever. So if you need someone to lighten up your event, be it a business training, or safety announcement, or concert venue, or weekend festival, or youth rally, or something else we ain't thought of, send us a note, and we'll get you the details and see if we can work something out. Now let's get to the guest today. This feller here is a bona fide super in every way. He's got the physique, he's got the suit, he's got the personality. He's everything you'd expect when you hear the word superhero. He's even got him a manager and an agent that reached out to us to see if we could fit him in. I'm still scratching my head as to why he'd want to come on our show, but here he is. Mr. Impractical.
Ha ha! Greetings, fellow crime fighters. What a glorious day to gather together in the bonds of brotherhood and share our stories of triumph and defeat. I applaud you on the secrecy of your hidden headquarters. If it were not for the precise directions you provided us with, we might never have located it. Who would ever think to turn off the paved road? Brilliant!
Well, thanks. Glad you could join us.
Not at all, my ginger-headed companion. I couldn't be more thrilled to be in your company. What a wonderful work you are doing here in these humble surroundings, spreading the good news of those who do good. I can't imagine a more useful application of unlimited resources. And to think, millions of people all over the world are going to be listening to this.
Maybe someday.
And what's this? Your sidekick is putting himself to good use, monitoring these squiggly lines on his computer. Fascinating. What a loyal assistant. If only my sidekick were as motivated, I can barely get him off the couch to patrol with me every day.
That can be a challenge. Is that him?
Profoundly challenging. Now, don't get me wrong. Infeasaboy is a valuable asset, especially whenever I need a human shield or a sandwich. But for the most part, it's like pulling the tusk of a radioactive boar just to get him away from his video games. I might as well throw him over my shoulder the way I would a wet towel, only not as useful.
Well, maybe he's just experienced some teenage angst. Puberty is a tough time for kids,
you know. Ha ha! If only that were the case. I understand the confusion. Enfisa boy is a bit of a misnomer. He's actually a 36-year-old man-child.
Really? He looks so frail.
I know, right? All waifish skin and brittle bones. And he's got the immune system of a malnourished baby bird. I don't think there's an allergen on the planet that doesn't completely incapacitate him. He takes so many prescriptions, not a single insurance company will return his calls.
Wow. How'd you recruit him?
Recruit? Recruit! Ha! I didn't recruit him. He's a charity case, and a tax write-off, I should add. And before you say it, I know there are stories floating around that I acquired him at a yard sale, but that's not exactly accurate. True, I was yard sailing one Saturday morning. That's just what I do. But when I came across him, he was lying on the doorstep of his widowed mother's shotgun shack, strung out on drugs and withering away. The poor woman practically begged me to take him. At first, I was hesitant, but after I thought about it for a moment, I decided it was my duty to take this pathetic junkie under my wing and accept him as my ward. Little did I know what a misguided decision that was.
I think it's admirable. Who knows where he'd be if you hadn't come along?
I know exactly where he would be. Precisely where I found him. Deteriorating along with that hovel and trying to combine enough remaining brain cells to figure out how to get his next hit. That's where. Now he at least has the luxury of sleeping on a clean futon and eating 3 square meals a day. That is, when he can trouble himself to pull his sorry hindquarters out of bed.
Seems kind of sick. Did you take him to a hospital?
Ha ha! Red Mullet! Always looking out for the little guy. I love it! Of course I took him to the hospital. I could tell right away that he needed medical attention. He spent nearly 3 months there. If one of the doctors didn't owe me for being a character witness in his malpractice lawsuit, I don't know how I could have afforded it. Superheroism isn't as lucrative as it used to be. Investors are scarce. Sponsors are pulling their endorsements left and right. The competition is positively brutal.
That's the side of the business I know nothing about. How does all that work?
Well, that's just it. It doesn't work. At least not anymore. Once upon a time, a hero could make the front page of a newspaper, and immediately he would be receiving calls from companies for shoes and sports drinks and underwear. No longer. Those days of corporation monetization are gone.
Why do you think that is?
Liability! The stakes are too high. Too many bad eggs that gave the rest of us a bad rap. You've heard of the Indignant Seven debacle?
Nope. Can't say that I have.
The Indignant Seven were a superhero team who came on the scene in the late 80s. They were very well liked at first. They even had a talking chimpanzee, if I recall.
Really?
Or maybe it was a bonobo. I always get them confused. Anyhow, they had endorsement deals with everything from frozen yogurt to deodorant. Then one day, things got out of hand at a Michael Dukakis rally. So the Seven were sent in to restore peace. Instead, they took the stage and revealed that the team was just a cover for a communist infiltration movement. Chaos ensued, and a legal battle began that poisoned the proverbial well for every hero who was to follow.
Well, that's just a darn shame.
I'll say! I lost my lifetime supply of hair product and thermal socks because of those commies. I had to sell my house in Malibu. I couldn't lease my jet anymore. It was horrible. No one even wanted to interview me. I was up for a Humanitarian of the Year award that suddenly went out the window. The media can be so savage.
Let me ask you something.
Ask away, friend. I have nothing to hide. Mr. Impractical is an open book. Though I should point out that the terms of my most recent settlement prevent me from addressing the details of that case.
Not sure what case that would be.
Exactly! Carry on, benevolent podcast host.
Thanks. What I was going to ask was, how'd you get into the game? What drew you to crime fighting as a way of life?
Excellent question. Who doesn't love a good origin story? In order to better grasp the scope of my evolution, one must go back to 1972, when I was found as an infant on the steps of a Catholic orphanage in Queens, New York. It was an all-girls orphanage, but the sisters there were so taken with me that they couldn't bear to send me away. So there I was, raised among the fairer sex, adorned and pampered like no child ever was. I had everything I could ever want or need. Yet, I couldn't help but feel that there was something missing, something more that lay beyond the walls of that sanctuary.
Was it a sense of injustice?
I must ask that all questions be held until the end of the story. It was a sense of injustice. I knew that I was receiving special attention and that the other children were not being treated fairly. For some reason I couldn't explain, I could not stand the thought of people getting a raw deal simply because of their circumstances. Everyone should be afforded the opportunity to make the most of themselves. But I didn't have the first idea of how to make things right. All I knew was that I had to earn the position I held, and not just sit around and accept it.
You mean you worked for it?
Ha ha! You bet I did! I went right to work. I showered twice a day, brushed my teeth and flossed after every meal, washed and ironed my own clothes, polished my shoes, styled my hair, tanned for an hour every afternoon, and kept my room spotless. But it didn't seem like enough. It wasn't until I saw an advertisement in the local paper that I realized what I'd been missing.
Compassion?
Muscles! It was a bodybuilding ad, and it convinced me that I could have a perfect body with very little effort. I soon came to find out that it was more complicated than that, but I would not be deterred. I exercised for several hours every morning and then again in the evening. I regulated very closely everything I ate. I'm sure the sisters were relieved when I was finally old enough to leave the orphanage. But when I did, I had no skills, no way to make money. How would I maintain my impressive physique if I couldn't consume the right number of carbs?
So what'd you do?
I became a model, of course. What better way to put to good use these dashing good looks and washboard abs? At first, I settled for nude figure drawing classes at the local art school, but soon my talents were noticed by more mainstream media outlets, and I moved up to print ads, and later, fitness magazines.
So you had a successful career as a model, then you became a superhero?
Ha! Of course not! Acting came next. I started out in commercials, then went on to do background work in movies and TV. I had a few guest spots on primetime, and eventually, I got my own sitcom pilot off the ground.
Oh, right. Would that be, Private and Practical?
That's the one! You're a fan, I see. Remind me after we're done recording, and I'll have them send you over some collectible swag.
Oh, that's really okay.
Private and Practical was a laugh-out-loud comedy set in a bustling metropolis, where I played a soldier who had been honorably discharged from the military for medical reasons and had no choice but to become a bumbling schoolteacher to troubled kids. It was very popular with the 18 to 24-year-old male demographic.
Oh, it was like Kindergarten Cop meets Welcome Back, Cotter.
Ha ha! You do have a way of simplifying things, my stylistically challenged compadre. Sadly, the show only ran for half a season before it was canceled. I was out of work for several months. Then one day, as I was working out in my favorite gym, a low-life thug attempted to rob the patrons of that fine establishment. He was waving his gun around and demanding we empty our lockers for him. I was outraged. No one interrupts me on leg day, especially when I'm in the middle of my presses. When he wasn't looking, I picked up a 20-pound dumbbell and lobbed it at his head. I'm proud to say that criminal now spends his days counting ceiling tiles in a community center.
Proud? You're proud you made some punk kid a vegetable?
I suppose things could have gone differently, but after several hours of expensive therapy, I came to the conclusion that it was him or us. I offered a public service that day, and I had a new awakening.
Hold up. Was your therapist Dr. Toboggins by any chance?
No. Who is that? He sounds fascinating.
Never mind. Go on.
Ah, yes. My heroic awakening. The day all things came clearly into view. The day I discovered my purpose.
So you had a sense of accomplishment, of satisfaction that justice had been served.
Well, that and the fact that I had a tremendous amount of media coverage. The headlines were terrific. Sitcom star stops stick-up. Muscle-bound man muddles mugging. Thespian thwarts thievery.
That's a lot of alliteration.
I'll say, people couldn't get enough. That's when I really started getting calls. Day and night. Agents. Women. Fans of all ages. I knew I had finally found my calling.
Well, that's very Mormon, I guess. Listen, Mr. Impractical, we're going to take a short commercial break. Don't go away, you hear?
I hear you loud and clear, mullet man.
Okay.
Are you tired of unbiased reporting on important topics from mainstream media? Wish there was something to cleanse your palate and chase your cares away? How about a totally nonsensical podcast that revolves around completely trivial pop culture content? How's that sound? How about this? It's even hosted by a bunch of unqualified nobodies with nothing better to do than spout off their uninformed opinions about irrelevant subjects. Sound even better? Then Geek Tank Radio is for you. I mean, who wants to listen to experts talk about stuff that affects our day-to-day lives? Not me. So if you're looking for an eloquent, well-researched news broadcast, look somewhere else, because you're definitely in the wrong neighborhood. Listen to Geek Tank Radio anytime on SoundCloud or at 1019kissfm.iheart.com.
All right, we're back. Mr. Impractical had to step out for a minute to take a call or powder his nose or something, so I'm going to try to ask his sidekick a few questions. Here goes. Hey, Infeasiboy, can I ask you something?
I guess so. I'm not supposed to talk to news people or any people, really.
Oh, it's all right. I ain't real news people anyhow. I was just wondering, is this guy for real?
What do you mean? I think he's real. He was just sitting here a minute ago, right?
No, I mean, yeah, but is he serious? Seems he's kind of putting on airs for the microphone.
I mean, he always likes to be prepared. I know Julie, his manager, was rehearsing with him a lot before we got here. Maybe you should ask her.
No, that's okay. Rehearsing, huh? Like they knew what kind of things I was going to ask him?
Sorta. But things like redirecting the questions and stuff.
Oh, I see. Trying to throw me off track. I gotcha. So let me ask you this. What kind of things does he not like to talk about?
Oh, man, I really shouldn't. I could get in a lot of trouble.
Don't worry about it, man. Just give me one thing.
I don't know.
Come on. Just a hint?
Well, I know he hates it when people ask him about his kid.
Whoa. He's got a kid? Wait, why would he hate to talk about that?
Probably because his kid's a villain.
Holy mess. This is about to get real good.
Don't tell him I told you.
Told him what?
Oh, nothing. We was just talking about your favorite kind of protein shake.
Well, I'd be happy to talk about that. I used to be a mighty milk man. But since I lost that endorsement, I become a sold-out protein pulp person.
Those sound disgusting.
Ha ha! To the indoctrinated, it might seem so, but for a finely tuned machine, as I maintain, they are like mother's milk.
That does not sway me in the least. Mr. I, you obviously cut a striking figure. Is this the sort of lifestyle you encourage others to live?
Bodybuilding is not for everyone, Mr. Mullet. I've made certain choices in my life. Some of them I'm not proud of, but at the end of the day, if I have something other people can look up to or be jealous of, something I've worked hard at and earned by the sweat of my brow, then I can rest easy at night.
And that's the legacy you want to leave behind. What about your progeny?
My what? You must mean something else.
No, I don't think so. I'm talking about your offspring.
Oh, well, that is altogether different than what I was thinking. I couldn't for the life of me discern why you would want to know about that other thing. I wasn't prepared for that kind of interview. Though, there does exist a certain segment of my fan base that obsesses over it. I suppose it wouldn't be altogether out of the question to indulge them. All right, you've talked me into it. So, last year when I went in for my annual physical...
Stay on track, Mr. I. Real fans want real talk. No more of this beating around the bushes.
But don't you see? That's exactly what put me in this predicament in the first place. Wouldn't you rather hear about one of my famous altercations with a supervillain? I've got a doozy about the time I fought Brain Drain and the Legion of Chaos. There I was, pinned down by Brain Drain's robot of destruction.
Maybe later. Right now we got to address the elephant in the room. Who is your son?
This is not what I signed on for. You were supposed to stick to the script. Who gave you this information? Was it him? That useless little whelp.
You're back to the streets when this is done.
Why don't you just answer the question?
My son, Euclid, he was such a sweet boy, always wanting to help, always wanting to please his old man, would do anything I asked, but he was wholly unremarkable.
In what way?
In every way. He couldn't stand out to save his life. Average build, average size, average hair and eye color, average intelligence, average student, average athlete, always held steady at par level. Not above, not below, just average. What could I do?
What did you do?
I tried, I really did. I encouraged him, prodded him, urged him to be better, greater, more than normal, but he couldn't seem to get over that hump.
Was he lazy?
I would never allow that. Up at dawn, exercises, chores, square meals, studies, extracurriculars, and he did them all without complaining. But he never tried harder. How can you make a child take initiative?
You're asking the wrong guy.
Yes, I suppose so. It's undoubtedly my fault. Maybe I pushed too hard, or not hard enough. Maybe I just didn't spend enough time with him. I was always traveling, running off to press junkets and grand openings. Then again, his mother doted on him so much.
Come on. Credit where credit is due. It ain't like you had a good father figure.
That's right. Sister Beulah was the closest thing I had. She's the one who taught me to shave.
And your son? He took a wrong turn?
We sent him to boarding school. We thought it was the best thing for him, but he got mixed up with the wrong group of friends. They were libertarians.
Oh.
Before we knew it, we had lost him. He came home one Thanksgiving and told us his intentions.
Which were?
To take over the world.
And what was your response?
I told him, not while you live under my roof, young man.
How did he take that?
Not well. He walked out the door and we never heard from him again. The next time we saw him was on the news when he was terrorizing the Democratic National Convention.
Ah, that was him, was it?
Yes, I'm afraid so. I had never been so ashamed.
Did you try to reach out to him? Make amends?
Oh, we tried, but he was too far gone. He stopped taking our calls, returned our letters, blocked our emails, unfriended us on social media. It was terrible.
And if he was sitting here across from you now, what would you say to him?
I would say, come home, son. Your mother and I love you very much. Turn from this life of crime. I will gladly make you my sidekick instead of this washed-up addict I've got now.
Well, I tell you what. We wasn't planning on doing this, but CB back there has been hard at work, and I do believe he's got your son on the phone, if and you want to talk to him.
Euclid? My son? He's there?
I'm here, Dad. But the name is the Instigator.
My boy! It's so good to hear your voice.
Wish I could say the same. The way you enunciate has always irritated the snot out of me.
I understand. How have you been? Your mother and I have missed you.
My mother? You mean that Filipino woman you hired to raise me? Do you even know who my real mother is?
Don't start that again. Diwata is a lovely woman.
You think every woman is a lovely woman?
I won't fall victim to your wiles this time. I want to speak to my son.
Well, newsflash, Dad. I am your son, and I've finally found something I'm good at. So either accept it, or get out of my way.
I have never been in your way. I've always only tried to push you toward greater things. But this isn't it.
How would you know? Who are you to say what is best for me? You're not even a real superhero. You're just a poser.
Choose your next words carefully. son.
That inbred hick you're sitting with is a more legitimate superhero than you. He probably doesn't even take you seriously.
Now, leave me out of this.
Oh, you're in it, hillbilly. You made the call, now you brought the thunder. Get ready to experience the unfettered wrath of the Instigator!
Euclid? My son? My boy? Where did I go wrong?
That's quite a whippersnapper you got there.
He wasn't always like this.
So you mentioned.
Are you satisfied now? Now that my dirty laundry has been hung prominently on display for all the world to see?
Well, if it makes you feel any better, there's probably only a couple dozen folks that listen to this podcast anyway.
That's being generous.
No matter. Mr. Impractical must persevere. I have a reality show audition to get to at 3.
That's it. Don't let anything keep you down. Keep that chiseled chin up high.
Thank you, Red Mullet. I wish you and your sidekick all the best. I expect to hear great things from you in the future. I've come to think of you as the sons I never had.
Yeah, I think we've seen how that goes. Hope everything turns out for you. As for the rest of you, we hope you'll join us next time when we talk to more unsung heroes and unrepentant villains on the Red Mullet Podcast.
This here's been a Monumental Flounder production, written and produced by Andrew Chandler. Red Mullet and Cowboy created by J.E. Choop. For more Red Mullet content, including a webcomic and video clips, go to andrewchandler.net.